It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we are continuing our series on the seven churches of Revelation. These seven churches found in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, we are learning that these were seven real churches, seven literal churches located in the Bible days in ancient Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. These were seven literal churches with seven different experiences. These were also seven literal churches which typify every different Christian there is today. There is also every different Christian with every different experience in their Christian walk, and this is symbolically shown in these seven different churches. For instance, in chapter 2, we had the church of Ephesus, the backslidden church, the church that left its first love. Just like we have the backslidden Christian, the Christian that leaves its first love. We also had the church of Smyrna. This was the poor and faithful church that suffers. Just like we have the poor and faithful Christian that suffers. And we had the church of Pergamos. This was the church that was married to the world. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. Just like we have the worldly Christian. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. And we had the church of Thyatira. This was a church that was too busy with the wrong motive. And sin began to creep into the church, and it had tolerance and a great falling away. We also have Christians that are too busy with the wrong motive, and sin creeps into their life, tolerance creeps in, and they have a great falling away. We also had the church of Sardis, chapter 3. This was the dead church, or the frozen chosen. And we have the Christian that's spiritually dead, alive on the outside, dead on the inside. Then we have the church of Philadelphia. This is the church with the open door, the church with great outreach, the missionary church, the church that supports the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the Christian that is good with outreach, the Christian with the open door, the Christian that supports the furtherance of Bibles and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the missionary Christian or the outreach Christian. And finally, we had the church of Laodicea. This was the lukewarm church, the comfortable church, the blasé church, the indifferent church, the church that was te sera sera. And we have the Christian that's lukewarm, the Christian that's blasé, comfortable, and indifferent. Te sera sera. From chapter 3, we are continuing with the church of Philadelphia, verses 7 through 13. The Bible says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Last verse, verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is the church of Philadelphia, the church with the open door, the church with great outreach, lots of good works, lots of good ministry. Verse number 7. Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This angel is the human messenger of the local church, the local pastor of the local church. This individual taking this letter on behalf of the church as the local shepherd, the local pastor of the church, and reading it before the local congregation. This is not a spiritual angel, because spiritual angels are not local pastors over the local church. Human messengers, and this word is messenger, angel means messenger, this is the local pastor of the local church. Continuing, verse 7, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Jesus Christ, at the beginning of every epistle, all 7 of these epistles found in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, always identifies himself in biblical language. He speaks in the first person personal. And if you have a red letter version, you see that the words are written in red. Jesus Christ speaking for himself to the local pastor, to the local church. This is saying that this particular letter has authority. It has the fingerprints of God on it. It speaks with the power and authority and accuracy, truth, and the inerrancy of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking for himself. Not coming from the pastor, but coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ identifies himself as he that is holy, he that is true. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ identifies himself as having the keys, having authority in chapter 1 of Revelation in verse 18. Verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Keys signify access. Keys signify authority. David indicates his lineage coming from the root and offspring of the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David. And the lineage of David is that the Messiah will come through the line of David and reign forever. Jesus Christ came, put on a body, that he may die for the sins of the world, rose from the dead, and he's coming back to reign and rule as the seed of David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shutteth. He is the one that opens doors. He is the one that shuts doors. He is the one that gives opportunity. He is the one that lifts up. He is the one that puts down. If Jesus Christ opens a door for you, no man can shut it. If Jesus Christ shuts the door, no man can open it. Even though it may be forced, it will not have the unction and the endorsement and the anointing of God upon it. He is the one that gives opportunity in the fullness of time, in due season. And that's why the Bible says, he that ministers, let him wait on his ministry. He that teaches, let him wait on his teaching. Let them wait on the Lord for him to groom them and grow them in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are being discipled in the local church through good teaching and good tutelage. And when the season comes, that individual will go forth and serve the Lord. The Bible says, we shall reap in the due season in God's timing. Verse number 8 continuing, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. They have strength. They have enough to go forth. They have not denied the Lord's name. How important is this? We have an example in the Bible where even an apostle denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter in Matthew chapter 26 denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times before the cock crowed twice. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He was operating in fear. He saw Jesus Christ being taken by the Romans, betrayed by the Jewish leadership, and they begin to think the same thing could happen to me if I'm identified with Jesus Christ. Church, we must learn how to suffer. Many of the epistles that Paul has written, he encourages them to suffer as a Christian, because if they're following Jesus Christ, they're going to suffer as Christ suffered. If they're following Paul as Paul follows Christ, they look to Paul's imprisonment and they say between themselves, if Paul is in prison for worshiping and serving Christ, we may go to prison too. And that's what Paul was encouraging many believers to rejoice in his bondage, knowing that he's suffering on behalf of Christ. And we today must be encouraged to know that we're going to be talked about in the secret places of work. We're going to have policies written up against Christians to try and mute them and take away their Christian liberties and their freedom of worship. We see it happening decades and decades ago, where the Bible was taken out of the public school forum and prayer was taken out of school, that the decline in society's morals has gone down astronomically because of the moral base being taken out of the public schools with our children, the next generation. God's word and prayer being taken out. Thou shalt not steal being taken out. Thou shalt not commit adultery being taken out. Thou shalt not bear false witness being taken out. And when these moral parameters, the sense of right and wrong, is taken out of the next generation, they have no framework for right and wrong, and they begin to have their framework dictated by opinion. Whatever is right is right. Whatever is wrong is wrong. What you believe is what you believe, and we tolerate one another. This is an abomination. God has absolute rights and absolute wrongs because he is a holy, righteous God. We are not to deny his name. Today in society, we are denying him also in word, thought, and deed. Some individuals are denying him in their speech. They say they are Christians, but their speech betrays them. They curse and they cuss and they backbite and they slander and they murmur and they complain. They're denying the Lord in their speech. They deny the Lord in their thought process. In the deep recesses of their being, while they're with their spouse, they're thinking about someone else. While they're with a so-called friend, or perhaps in the church, they're thinking about a grudge or an ought or a resentment or unforgiveness. They deny them in their deeds, where they praise God on Sunday and they live like the devil during the week. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, a light that shineth in a dark place. We should not hide our light, but place it on the mountaintop, on the top of the hill where all can see it. Now the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. We are not to deny the Lord in word, thought, or deed. We are to be emboldened and profess his name, and to live a life that shows that we love the Lord. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the angels of God. What a joy to be emboldened to know that for God I live and for God I die. And we shall serve him in word, thought, and deed, and not deny his name. He has been too good to us. He has been so kind to us. He has saved our soul, washed us from our sins, healed our bodies, and told us to run on. How can we deny his name? Verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. This speaks of humbling them. This speaks of letting them know that your light is shining and that, yes, you truly serve the Lord. Who was this synagogue of Satan? This synagogue of Satan was a play on words where it was a local Jewish assembly or Jewish assemblies that professed that they knew God, that they served God. Yet Jesus Christ here in a play on words is saying they're not the synagogue of the local Jews or the synagogue of God. They're the synagogue of Satan. Any local congregation, local denomination, local church or assembly that does not profess the Lord Jesus Christ, or that attempts to profess the Lord Jesus Christ, but in their life they deny Him, then they are the synagogue of Satan. The Bible says, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit to see if they are of God. The Bible says, even Satan can appear as an angel of light, and even his ministers can do so also. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. We are to know individuals not by their sermon, not by the song they sing, not by the dress they wear, not by the hands that they do shake or the people that they do know. We are to know them by their fruit. We know an apple tree because apples grow on that apple tree. We know a pear tree because pears grow on that pear tree. We know grapes because grapes grow on a particular vine. If individuals are bearing fruit, we know what's coming out of the heart. If they're bearing bad fruit, we know what's coming out of the heart. Verse number 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. This is the church of Philadelphia enduring the tribulation through patience, patience enduring. It says, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is a powerful scripture speaking of the promise of the church of Philadelphia not to go through the great tribulation. And it speaks to us also in this present time that we as Christians will not go through the great tribulation. God's last day clock is as thus. Jesus Christ comes to shed his blood for the sins of the world, which he has done. He rises from the dead and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He will come again in the rapture found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 on down, where he comes to bring his bride home. It's a picture of a Jewish wedding to where the son goes forth and prepares a home. The father only knows the time of the wedding, and he sends the son to go get the bride in the middle of the night or unexpectedly to prove that she is faithful, and then they have the wedding. This picture is given in John chapter 14, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. That's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, the picture of the rapture, or the picture of a local Jewish wedding, where God only, the Father, in that picture, knows the time of the wedding. The Son is preparing a home for the bride and the bridegroom. The Father sends the Son unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, to go and get the bride because she is supposed to be faithful and waiting. And that's our picture. We don't know the time of the rapture. It can come at any time. It's the next step on God's biblical calendar. And we as brides espoused to Christ are to be ready when He comes in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Therefore, after the rapture, then begins the rise of the Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then the whole world goes through the tribulation to bring them to their knees in repentance and to bring the nation of Israel back to God. And that's why Jeremiah chapter 30 says, "Alas, the time of the great tribulation, it's a time of Jacob's hour, Israel's hour." And that's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain deliverance or salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ." God will not allow his bride to go through the great tribulation. It's a time of shaking, a time of quaking, to where the world is brought to their knees in repentance and to come back and receive salvation. The church is conspicuously named in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. And then the church is not found again till after the great tribulation in chapter number 19, when Jesus Christ comes back with the church at the second coming of Christ. The rapture is a time where he comes back for us. The second coming is when we come back with him after the great tribulation, according to Matthew 24, Matthew 25, and Jude verses 14 and 15. This word "from" in verse number 10 is the word ek, E-K in the Greek. It means out of. It doesn't mean out of in terms of through, where we are preserved or preservation. It means out of evacuation. Out of, where he's taking us out of that local domain, the local jurisdiction, into the heavenly domain, the heavenly jurisdiction. That word "from," ek, out of the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that are dwell upon all the earth. When you see the word all means all. That's all that all means. So it's speaking of the entire world going through the great tribulation, but we as Christians can comfort ourselves to know that we're going home before the great shaking and quaking takes place. So we ought to get out the word of God as much as we can, so souls can be saved, eyes can be opened, and people can be rescued from the great tribulation. Verse number 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." What an individual has, we hold on to, and we live in it, walk in it, serve it. Individuals can lose crowns. Crowns are rewards. 2 John chapter 8 speaks of this emphatically. It says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for, that we may receive a full reward." Christians can lose crowns. These crowns can be lost if individuals begin to stop serving God, if individuals stop serving God, stop loving God, and stray away. The Christian is in danger of losing crowns, rewards. We are to serve him to the end. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing." The Bible is saying it's not how we start, it's how we finish. There are many that start and stray away, but how many finish the course? Many are called, few are chosen. The Bible says, "Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Back to Revelation, verse number 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In every letter to the church, Jesus Christ gives a promise of those who overcome to be partakers of heaven. A pillar in the temple of my God speaks to stability and authority. It speaks to having the household of the redeemed. It speaks of having always a safe and dwelling place to be. It speaks that we have identity. It speaks of having a home. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God. All these things speak of having a home, a heavenly home that no man can taketh away. That a home with no mortgage, a home with no property tax, a home with no flood insurance, a home with no cracks in the foundation, a home that no man can taketh away forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, church, let us rejoice. The promise of overcoming, the promise of having a heavenly reward. The Bible says, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. The Bible says, know ye not that we shall judge angels. Jesus Christ has a plan for us. What an awesome God we serve. Last verse, verse number 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And every epistle, at the close of every epistle, found in these letters to the seven churches, you'll find an invitation, an altar call from the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the divine Trinity. We have God speaking through the local sermon, speaking through his word, speaking through a track, speaking through a anointed Christian song, speaking through the love of a cup of cold water given in the name of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus speaking through his word, speaking in the first person through these epistles to the seven churches, and we have the Holy Spirit speaking as an invitation. The Holy Spirit pricking and convicting and drawing individuals to God through love and kindness. And that's why the Bible says, wherefore, when the Holy Spirit speaks, harden not your heart. Psalm 95, Hebrews chapter 3. We are to yield to the pricking of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we ought to bow the knee and confess our sins and go to one another and make amends and say, I'm sorry, and begin to be healed with the love of God and to begin to rejoice in the joy of forgiveness. This is the Church of Philadelphia, the church with great outreach works, the church with the open door, the church that did not deny his name. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness and backslidden, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. This prayer will change your life. Pray with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.